जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। दुख मध्य को न दुख हाय गुरु तर कृष्ण भक्त विराह बिन दुखे नाही देखी पर Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Sri Ramananda Roy replied, apart from separation from the devotees of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Concerning this, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Imam anadidhya dukharta kutumba shataka manasa satsanga rahito martyo vridha seva parichyuta. A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas or who does not render service to his superior is also a most unhappy person. There is also a statement given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sva jivana adikam pratyam shri Vishnu janasangata Vichere na kshanam chatra na sukham sam labhamahe. Of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shulakya Chakshudu Militam Gyena Tasmaya Shri Guru Vedamaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. This part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is known as Ramananda Samvad, and Srila Prabhupada has written a small book way back before the incorporation of ISKCON in India, which was also of the same name, Ramananda Samvad. Like you have the word uvacha. Uvacha means said. So then there's the word bhad. Bhad means to speak, and Samvad, like Sankirtan. There's Kirtan and Sankirtan, Yagya Sankirtana. So Samvad means perfect discussion or a complete discussion. And when we see that word, then that is its significance. And the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy are certainly a complete communication between the Lord and his most advanced devotee. Here, the position is somewhat unusual because traditionally devotees take the role of placing questions and Krishna answers, like Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking, Arjuna Vacha, and then Shri Bhagavan Vacha, and Lord Krishna is replying. This is the general standard of conversation, that the most learned is the one who speaks. Like yesterday, we were speaking about maryad, vyatikrama, transgressing etiquette. So there's also certain other aspects of that etiquette, like speaking in the presence of a superior. That's considered to be an offense. For instance, there's the example of Rasikananda Thakur, whose spiritual master was Shyamananda Pandit. So it stated that he would never speak even when asked in the presence of his guru. He just would not talk. And that is the proper etiquette. Sometimes devotees are very eager to be heard, and therefore, whether in the presence of a guru, a superior, an elder, a senior Vaishnav, they readily speak. This is also not proper etiquette. One can do so, but only when instructed. Otherwise, it's not a proper thing. In the same way, Ramananda Roy, in many ways, is in a junior position to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Perhaps not by age, by social status, he's a kayasta, a type of kshatriya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming from a pure brahminical lineage, so he's a pure Brahmin. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramananda Roy is, even though a eternally liberated soul, but still, he's also in a subordinate position. So how is it that he can speak? He can speak once again by the order of the Lord. So when Krishna gives the order or when Guru gives the order, then that's possible. Otherwise, it's not. Like Srila Prabhupada also pointed out about how a devotee, for instance, takes the position of Guru. Guru means one takes the responsibility for giving instruction. So, in general, Srila Prabhupada pointed out that someone does not accept the position of guru in the physical presence of his own guru. He calls this the law of the disciplic succession. Why? Just for this very reason, is that one should not actually take a worshipful position in the presence of one's own worshipable object. And here when we talk about guru, at least I'm not meaning simply Diksha Guru. I mean anyone who's in a worshipable position, and that may mean from a social, from a point of view of age, as well as from spiritual considerations. But one can do so if one's given the order. So similarly, Prabhupada says, when one receives the order, yes, you should do this, then you can do it. And everything requires such empowerment. Without that empowerment, then one is considered to transgress proper etiquette, in which case he doesn't get the desired fruit of his activities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Ramananda Roy at the behest of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He recognized Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as, by this time he had already become a great devotee, but he was a very great scholar. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, if you want to find someone who's a great scholar in devotional science and discuss with him, you should talk to Ramananda Roy. He says, I spoke to him in the past, but that time I was not inclined towards bhakti. But now I can recognize what a great devotee he was. So it's very interesting. Of course, Ramananda Roy is not an ordinary person. But, for instance, we often complain about not having time for reading or studying Srila Prabhupada's books. However, Ramananda Roy was a politician. He had great administrative responsibilities. He had responsibilities for maintaining an army, cities, collecting taxes, so many other things. And still in the explanation, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya calls him a Mahapandit. So Pandit is someone who's very learned. And Mahapandit, well, you know, when you use the word Maha, it means something very, very outstanding. So Ramananda Roy was regarded as a Mahapandit. Now, sometimes we look down upon this idea of being learned as being averse to devotional service. But that's not particularly the case. I remember when I joined, there used to be a poster made, or there was a poster made of Srila Prabhupada, which is rare. There have been many posters since, but it was a very nice poster. And underneath it, it was written, foremost proponent of Krishna consciousness in the world. We used to also be very proud of Srila Prabhupada being referred to as a great scholar. And if we actually read Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll see that Prabhupada refers to Vaishnava scholars. Jiva Goswami is the greatest scholar and philosopher of his time and since then. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a great scholar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great scholar. We may point towards Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who is supposed not to have been able to read, but generally speaking, you'll find that these are the exceptions. If you look through the line one after another, you'll see that even though perhaps Shukadev Goswami didn't know how to read, still he had a photographic memory, and he knew all of Srimad Bhagavatam and everything else that he heard from his gurus off by heart. So they're all scholars. In fact, the whole line of Krishna consciousness is based just on that, on great scholars who know the Siddhanta, who know Vedic literature. Rup, Sanatan, Goswami, all great scholars. So it may not be possible for us to compete with them in scholarship. And Srila Prabhupada in one lecture said that you cannot compete in the terms of competing with him. But still, it's our duty to learn that spiritual legacy which has been given to us as our inheritance. The books which Srila Prabhupada has given us, the books which Prabhupada has authorized that we should read, which are actually the books of the Goswamis, they've all been written for a particular purpose. They've been given to us for learning and also for study. So Ramananda Roy, now receiving the instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he becomes the teacher. In other words, he answers the questions and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poses them. Ramananda Roy explains that actually I'm not speaking. You're impelling me to give the answer, and you're also giving the questions, just like I'm just like a puppet with, you know, a ventriloquist, or they have these puppets on a string and moving like that. So he says, yes, I'm in a similar situation. So under such circumstances, as we were discussing yesterday, always keeping in mind that one is speaking under higher authority, then if instructed, one can speak. After speaking about different stages of devotional service, Ramananda Roy now answers specific questions. This took place over a period of days when they would regularly meet. And now he's answering a very important question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed this question to him. He says, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? And Ramananda Roy replies, he says it in a particular way. He doesn't say that the greatest distress is separation from the devotees, but rather he puts it, apart from separation of devotees, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. In other words, both devotees and non-devotees experience unhappiness in this world. That's a fact. Because that's what this world is, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. The distinction is that devotees are not attached to their happiness or unhappiness. It is not that we don't experience, it wouldn't be a factual narration or recounting of your day-to-day life if we were here to say that we don't experience unhappiness. We do. But we're not attached to that. Just like it isn't that we don't experience heat or cold just because we happen to be practitioners of devotional service, or that we don't experience pain. Krishna never says any of these things in the Gita. So he says, sukha dukkha samakrita labha labha jayajayo. He says, sukha dukkha, happiness, distress. He doesn't say you don't experience it. He just says, don't be attached to it. So our principle is also that. But here he says, but there's one type of unhappiness which is intolerable. And that is the unhappiness of not being in the association of devotees. And sometimes young devotees or some devotees opine that this would seem to be a vacation not to be in the association of devotees because they experience a certain degree of unhappiness as a consequence of devotee association. some of this in-house politics and difficulties due to personal nature, the sociology of having to live so closely, many people in a room, and this brings with it certain problems. That's a fact, and that's part of the unhappiness that one may experience in the world. Things are not always ideal. But still, here, for those who value things as they are, those who know the artha, the value of a thing, and who know the value of devotional association, lava matra sarva shiri hoy. They know that this association of Vaishnavas is very, very valuable. Of course, one may say, well, that's true. If you have association of devotees like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, but what about devotees of lesser caliber? But here he doesn't say that. He just simply uses the word, Krishna bhakta biraha vina dukkha nahi deki par. He says Krishna Bhakta. That's a very general terminology. He doesn't talk about some specific bhaktas. He does not say Krishna Uttam Bhakta. He says, yes, separation from the pure devotees of the Lord. He just says separation from devotees of the Lord. That's the worst thing. Bina dukkha nahi deki par. So there's no pain which cannot be tolerated except for this. So how is such a thing, that association with devotees? It's a fact. One must learn to tolerate and become attached to members of one's spiritual family. Just like in a family at home. So there may be mature young men and women who are very polite, mannered, and quite developed in terms of their appreciation of their parents and relatives, so they're a real pleasure to be with. On the other hand, you may have children or even babies who don't do very much else other than cry, eat, make noise, pull things off shelves, break things, crawl around, demand attention, and so on. So one may say, well, who wants these? Let's just have those. But the problem is you can't have those without these. So those were also these at one time. And if you dispose of those, then you don't get the well-mannered, well-bred young men and ladies. And the practical reality is that you'll find that a mother is equally attached to the young, untrained baby as the well-educated and well-bred senior members of the family. Because the principle is that they're all members of family. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also described at Dikshakali, that initiation, or when one enters into Krishna consciousness, one enters into Krishna's kula, Krishna's family. And when one becomes a member of the family, all members of the family are valuable. Whether they be trained, or well-bred, or semi-well-bred, that's a detail. But one knows that without actually members of family, then there's no practical progress. So, Vaishnava is defined like this. Vishnu Devata Adya Vaishnava. The one person who takes Krishna as his ultimate goal in life. So he's a Vaishnava. He may be this advanced, he may be that advanced. That then remains a detail. And they're categorized according to their level of advancement. That is a fact. But the main qualification is what? Krishna Eka Sharanam. So there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. 25 of these are considered to be secondary, and one is considered primary. If the one is there, the 25 will come. If the 25 are there, it doesn't necessarily mean that the one will come. Krishna Eka Sharanam. Krishna Eka Sharanam is taken from Bhagavad Gita. Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. So if someone has this quality that he is dependent or surrendered to Krishna, then that person will develop all of the other qualities. But if all the other qualities are there, like he's a poet, he's clean, he's learned, he's this, he's that, but he doesn't depend on Krishna, then he could be anything. He could be a gyani, yogi, he could even be a non-devotee. Be an atheist. So that is the main characteristic, main basis upon which we seek out the association of devotees so that they will inspire us in our advancement. Of course, there is a science to association. Generally speaking, one should not take association from those who are less advanced or younger in devotional service. One may give such people association, but association should be taken from peers or superiors. Krishna iti yasya giritam manasya desha dikshati chet pranatabhis chabajantamisham. So this is the system Rupa Goswami gives. It's a type of discrimination, distinction we make on the basis of authorized lines of difference between one caliber of individual and another. It doesn't mean that we discriminate against the person. Oh, you're no good. It's just like a child. You don't tell him, you're no good, you pee all over the place. So that's, you deal with the issue and you teach them how to go to the bathroom, but you don't particularly identify them with a habit which they have due to immaturity. Otherwise, you have children who grow up with phobias and who end up at age 30 years old doing the same thing. At night they pee in their bed because they were connected to some habit which is natural due to a particular age. So devotees also advance and grow in spiritual life, but the association should be done according to the lines which are given in the acharyas. Now here, Prabhupada quotes from two points of view. There's one quote from Bhagavatam and one quote from Bihabhagavatamrita. One says, what is the greatest unhappiness? And the other one that says, what is the greatest happiness? From these two angles of vision, they both say the same thing. Greatest unhappiness is to be devoid of the association of devotees. The greatest happiness is to be in the association of Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Janma Tua. He says, Kita Janma Tua. How does it go? Kita Janma Tua Das. So even if I take birth as an insect, that's all right. I just wanted to be in the house of a devotee. Das, your servant. So we don't mind. We don't mind what particular position we may have, but it should be as a associate of the associates of the Lord. Then we're very happy. And otherwise, Brahma, even if we're born in the as a Brahma, a non-devotee Brahma, then what is the use of such a thing? So this is the basic principle of happiness, at least how we should measure it. Because how do you measure sukha-dukha? How do you measure happiness and distress? You measure it upon your values, upon what particular value system you've adopted. So if someone's value system is cars, when he has a big car, then he's happy. And when his car crashes, then he's unhappy. If someone's value system is based on, who knows, eating, then when he can eat 24 hours a day, then he's in great ecstasy, and if for some reason he can't, then he's unhappy. So if our value system is based upon association of devotees, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then we realize that being in the association of Vaishnavas is actually real unhappiness. And unhappiness is to be away from that association. It's just a matter of knowing how to value the thing. That doesn't mean, as mentioned, that they are not just like in a family. So you all know, having lived with your genetical or inherited families, what it means to live in a family. So there are problems. There's disagreements between husband and wife, between children, between parents. Children fight, they claw each other, they say they hate each other, they say they're going to kill each other. None of that goes on. At least for the most part, it doesn't go on. But it's said, and in due course of time, it all just sort of fades away into the background and it's insignificant. So Chanaka Pandit says like that, that the fighting between goats and the barking of dogs, thunder in daytime, as well as a fight between husband and wife, no one pays attention to these things. So because it comes and it goes. In the same way, there may be so many things which happen in what Srila Prabhupada called social intercourse. That's also there between devotees, especially neophyte devotees. They have, by definition, an inability to associate with each other. So, not chataneshu bhakteshu bhakta prakrita smita. This is a prakriti bhakta, or a neophyte devotee. By definition, he doesn't know how to associate with other devotees. Therefore, obviously, he's going to have problems. When he becomes a little more advanced, then he'll know. Prema maitri kipopeksha yat karoti shumadhyama. When he becomes madhyam, then he knows how to make friends. He knows how to make friends even with those who he disagrees with. He knows how to have a maitri or friendly relationship with Vaishnavas. But in any case, to be away from association of devotees, for someone who values Krishna consciousness and knows that Krishna consciousness means being in the association, there's no Krishna consciousness without devotee association, then that is the worst possible thing which can happen to a devotee. So Narottam Das therefore sings, Tadira Charana Seva Bhakta Shanibas Janame Janame Hoje Abhilas. He says, this is my Abhilas, this is my desire. Tadira Charana Seva Bhakta Shanibas. That birth after birth, because Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmani Shvari Bhavatad Bhakti. He says, yes, I'll take birth in the material world. I just want your bhakti. And what does that mean? That I just want your devotional service? The Narottam Das Thakur says, I want to practice devotional service in the association of devotees. Janme janme ho e abhilas. So this word abhilas, abhilas means desire. So we should also have that desire. It means changing our value system, knowing how to appreciate our family members, knowing how to appreciate devotees. Little devotee, big devotee, they're all devotee. Even though sometimes they may behave properly, and sometimes they may not. That's a detail. Still, our principle is based on this. So there's a nice example, which Narahari Sakar gives. He talks about this example of big devotee and little devotee. Well, yes, someone's a big devotee, so I'll offer him respect, but little devotees, I can't respect little devotees. They make mistakes, they do this, that, no. He says, just like in the Ganga, he says, if you go in the Ganges has some little waves, and it may have some big waves. Just like, you know, always when there's waves, sometimes you have a big wave. And on top of the big wave, there are ripples, which are little waves. So he says, is the little wave any less sacred than the big wave? Well, you say, oh, the big wave is a big part of Ganges, the little one little, so I will only bathe in the big waves, and I'll avoid the little waves. No, little wave, big wave, they're all sacred. So in the same way, in one point of view, all Vaishnavas are servitors of the Lord. They're all sacred. They're all worshipable. They're all worshipable how? Sakshad harit vinasamasta shastriya. All Vaishnavas are as good as God. That's a basic definition. We worship Vaishnavas as good as, otherwise how do we worship them as good as what? You worship them as good as your neighbor. You worship them as good as a cow. No, we worship them Shakshat Hari. All Vaishnavas are good as God. There may be a distinction as to how someone is as good as God and how someone is worshipped. But in general, that's the principle. Just like in the UK, if you go to the Mauritian embassy, or the Mauritian embassy ambassador comes and visits the Prime Minister, he'll get a reception. He'll be received as good as the government of Mauritius. But if the American ambassador comes to visit the Prime Minister, he'll be also received as good as the American government, but because there's a big difference between the importance of America and Mauritius, he'll receive a different reception. So they're both revered as Shakshad, as good as the head of state, but still different degree of respect. So all devotees have to be seen as Vaishnava, as Krishna, as representatives of Krishna, because that's what a Vaishnava means, someone who's representing Krishna. But it may be that according to the degree of advancement, greater or lesser degree of respect within that category. And because a Vaishnav is someone who always wants to be in Krishna consciousness, by being in those who are either trying to be Krishna conscious or being Krishna conscious or excelling in Krishna consciousness, in one sense, it achieves the same purpose. And in another, it gives variety. There are great advantages to being in the material world as opposed to being in the spiritual world. This is one of them. In the spiritual world, there are no sadhakas. You can't associate with any practitioners. In the spiritual world, you can't preach to anybody. In the spiritual world, you can't help but make anyone Krishna conscious. Now, these things are going on in the material world. It's a, from that point of view, it's a more varied or variegated position. So, when things are not qualified, then we should accept that they're very general and generic, and we should apply it like that. We should superimpose our own qualification upon something. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy, were to give some type of qualification, if Lord Chaitanya was to ask, well, amongst the devotees, which devotees would it be better to associate with, or which devotees' association is desirable or not desirable, he doesn't ask the question. Therefore, even though it may be relevant, it's not that important. The importance is appreciate the general association of Vaishnavas. And when one feels unhappiness in their association, then we can know that we're also making some advancement in Krishna consciousness. All right, then he'll talk about liberated persons and talk about what is actually religion of the living entity. Anyone have any other comments or questions? Which canto? Yes. So, as I mentioned, there's variety within that category of Vaishnavas. And one should exhibit discrimination in terms of one's dealings with Vaishnavas. So there are Vaishnavas of bad character, means those who are proud, aggressive, and who generally practice devotional service in the mode of ignorance. So their quality of devotion is not very good. Still, one should offer them respect, but it's called offering respect from a distance. In other words, you keep your distance. It's an English phrase we use, keeping your distance. So keep your distance from them. Don't speak ill, don't speak bad. Keep distance from those whose devotion cannot further one's own. That doesn't mean that we become prejudiced against them, or we speak badly about them, or we denigrate them. We recognize here this is this person's level of devotional advancement. If one can, and help that person to become elevated by all means, then one should do that. But if one cannot, then one should, by distance means, not that every time I see this person, I stay about 16 yards away from them, and I just make a big, take a wide berth around them. No, it just means that we deal with them in a very polite way, but we don't become dependent on them, either as a friend or as a guide. But we deal with them according to social norms.
Well, very often Sri Prabhupada was warning us about Kandachina, those who left him happy. And one day, I think quite understand identifying Kandachina, and to say that agreement with Congress and the government. But between our demand and China's evolution, it would be irrational to believe. So, who's the kind of China? How do you identify it?
May not be able to. So, it requires a certain degree of knowledge, vision, in order to be recognized something. So you only can recognize something when you have knowledge of that. Otherwise, you can't. So the distinction between Vaishnavas of different degree and Kali Chela means that there are those people who take the guise of Vaishnavas, chant Hare Krishna, execute the process of devotional service for the purpose of either simply their own benefit and aggrandizement, in other words, that they want to become recognized, acknowledged, receives some fame, wealth, prosperity, and so on, or sometimes even to do harm to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from within. So it doesn't mean that there's some devotee who makes some mistake inadvertently or even sometimes due to weakness that he then becomes a Kali Chela. It means someone who really has bad intent, not just someone who makes bad, everyone can make bad mistakes, but someone whose intent is purposefully bad and despite the purificatory effect of Krishna consciousness is able to maintain that bad intent. So such a person must be empowered. Yeah. But at least not by that definition. We say Vaishnava is someone who's Krishna ekasharan. He wants to surrender to Krishna. He's trying to surrender to Krishna, despite the fact that he may have tendencies in one direction or another. But he repeatedly, even if he may have weaknesses, he still tries to go on this path. Kali Chela means he doesn't want to become purified. He doesn't want to be advanced. He has no interest in any of those things. His interest is to utilize this as a facility to further his own plans. I'm just allergic to those flowers. Hyacinth. So, intent is important. Therefore, Krishna says, apichet sudaracharo bhajatayama manandya bhakta. Don't judge them by their external behavior immediately. You cannot immediately tell. You can tell whether their association is favorable for you or not, but you cannot just label someone as being not sincere. You find out in time who's sincere. Okay, is that it? Is this really Greenwich Mean Time, or is this like Radhagokulananda Mean Time? It seems to be a little fast. All right, there's nothing else, then I guess we can stop there and then we'll just continue. It, obviously, Giriraj Maharaj is not here. He didn't even arrive. That's why he's not here. He's in some other country somewhere. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.